It's that time again.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Courtside Podcast. I'm your host, Hank McCoy, and with me, the People's Champ.
The champ is here.
Vin Rock. Vince, welcome back to the show.
The champ is here.
When you do an intro like that, does your fiance just look at you and go, "Why am I with you?"
She is in bed asleep, and the door is shut. I'm sure she rolls her eyes in her sleep, though.
It doesn't mean she can't hear you.
And of course, we're joined by Buckets Magazine editor and Basketball Yoda, BG.
I also want to know, when you do record an intro of that nature, how much of it is authentic and how much of it is you putting your voice through some reverb unit and 100%. Giving the listener some enhanced experience?
100% authentic.
I'm officially worried.
Guys, we're here for a very special episode of the Courtside Podcast. Courtside presents a fridge full of haterade. We want to talk about all the players you just love to hate.
I hate you. I hate you. Yep. I hate you. Yep. I hate you! Yep. I hate you! I hate you! I hate you! I hate you!
So guys, I suppose, what's the key factor to a hated player? Is it overpaid player, a wasted talent, underperforming, overperforming? Is it a single game moment that just grinds our gears? What is it that makes us hate players?
One big factor for me, I can really like a player, and I like him at a particular team, that the minute he leaves, e.g. Carmelo, can't stand him.
Are you like me? Do you hold grudges against players?
Not for more than 50 years. After that, I'll let him go. But, and LeBron's another one you can throw in there. I just can't stand them after that. And it's not because I don't like the way they play or anything like that. It's just like, you know, with LeBron, I want him to stay at Cleveland. I want him to win a championship. And same with Melo at the Nuggets. And I just can't forgive him.
So loyalty matters to you, big time.
BG, what grinds your gears?
Well, out of your options, I went with other. And my other is, I don't know anybody who enjoys seeing an athlete who appears to be wasting talent. The appearance, especially at that pro level, of somebody presenting as lazy is an absolute cardinal sin. And we've seen it through the generations. You know, guys that don't work, or a classic case of someone like Tim Thomas, who has all the talent in the world and doesn't seem to be able to know how to maximize it. You know, guys that would rather the gym at 6 a.m. You know, these kind of, I guess, young, you know, 20-something millionaires who think that basketball is all fame and no work. And I think that's why, you know, over time, you end up having more respect for the guys that are gym rats, you know, over the guys that move to big cities just because they want to have the popularity and all the byproducts of their basketball talent. And, you know, Dwight Howard often falls into this category. You know, he could be working on his offensive game and he could be listening to his elders and finding ways to better himself, but instead, you know, he relies on his God-given talent, his, you know, physical prowess, and thinks that that's going to be enough to get him by. And when he doesn't get back to the finals, he seems to want to blame everyone else. And as outsiders, we just see him wasting away his prime. Yeah, just wasting talent when you have all the talent, when you have all the physical tools in the world. And it might be a matter of, you know, no heart or no capacity to...
What do you call it, Vince?
P-heart
syndrome.
Yeah. And look, Bynum's another one. And I'm not saying that it's more common in big men, but Howard and Bynum seem to just be two examples.
So for me, yeah, I think I have to side with Vin Rock a little bit. Any player that holds their team, their fans, franchise hostage, I think that for me really grinds my gears and something that really sticks out in my head. I mean, you know, you touched on it, Vince. You know, we've seen it with LeBron happen. I suppose he's, would you say, the trigger?
People have been leaving their teams long before LeBron.
Sure, sure. Year. But I think, you know, the way he went about it, that really deterred a lot of people.
It never affected me as much.
Mm.
But I mean, yeah, no one who has been the game's number one, maybe Shaq was the last to do it. Shaq left Orlando before he was at his apex, then left LA because of irreconcilable differences between him and Kobe. It seems like, yeah, I mean, the LeBron thing's difference in the way that no one forced LeBron out. He just left and made a really disgraceful.
I mean, but that had to be a big burn, that whole Shaq leaving Orlando, because, I mean,
not nearly as much as Shaq leaving LA.
I don't know, man. Like, they made the NBA Finals, and then the next year he bounces.
Yeah, but Dwight left Orlando. It was the same sort of deal, essentially.
Yeah.
My point is, Lakers had won 3 straight, then they couldn't win, and then Shaq says, look, I can't stick around. Kobe's just too much. Is that correct, Vince? Is that how it went down?
Pretty much.
My thing is, you know, Jordan never left the Bulls. Obviously, you know, Bird and Magic never left their respective teams. And when Magic did leave, it was more due to off-court. You know, it was a virus that made him leave the game, not, you know, basketball talent or you know, an inability to get along with teammates, whatever. So, yeah, LeBron's a first of its kind, I guess.
Our courtside fridge, the doors are open. We need to stock it. Full of Haterade. If you guys could match a current most hated player with a beverage, what flavor would it be, guys?
I hate you, I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
I've gone for J.R. Smith and tomato juice.
Tomato juice.
Have you had tomato juice?
No, I've never had tomato juice.
I would rather drink cat's piss. It's disgusting. I'll tell you what, on the way to work, stop in the milk bar and get yourself just a little bottle of
tomato juice. Question. Tomato juice is a little bit like J.R. Smith. I mean, do you drink it hot or cold?
You drink it cold.
Do people drink it hot?
That's called tomato soup.
I'm learning so much this show.
He speaks too much sense to be on with us. Go and have a bottle tomorrow on the way to work. Just a small one. You'll vomit your guts up.
I am actually going to go and look for a bottle tomorrow.
Oh, my wife drinks it. She's weird.
She's also going to live to 170. Like, it's... There's something in it that's really good for you.
BG, who's your player beverage?
My player beverage, I went for Melo, who is, in my opinion, the Long Island iced tea of the NBA. He sounds good. He starts off fine, you know, but have a little too much and you'll end up regretting it. Sometimes you don't even realize you're getting drunk, and then all of a sudden, bam, just like Melo, you go from game-changing offensive player into someone who just can't quite get you back to relevance.
Wow. So, yeah.
Careful. He's an interesting mixture, just like the Long Island iced tea. On paper, sounds unreal. Have a couple. Good times. Let him stay a little too long. You're going to regret it.
I like it. Well, for me, my player beverage is Bilk. Yes, that's right, Bilk. And it's sponsored by Chris Bosch and Blake Griffin. It's basically milk and beer. It has a little bit of a fruity flavour, so... You know, I thought it appropriate to Chris Bosch and Blake Griffin because everyone's saying, you know, they should toughen up a little bit. But a brewery in Japan has been producing a low malt beer with milk extract.
I trap some down for us, will you?
I'd have to import it from Japan.
Nah, it's all right. I'll have a look around.
There you go.
If you not want to have people show up to your party, just let them know you're catering and there'll be bilks for everyone.
Yep.
I heard something great today, which I'm going to do next Christmas. I'm going to buy some eggnog close to use-by date.
Ooh.
And I'm going to let it ferment. then someone who's pissing me off on Christmas Day, who I don't particularly like, I'm going to say, would you like to try this Greek eggnog?
You would poison them. Wouldn't that poison them?
Nah, it's just like yogurt.
Oh, my goodness. So our fridge is stocked, guys. We need a veteran. We need a... So, who will coach our all-most hated player team?
Are you kidding me?
Who have you got?
Mike freaking D'Antoni is coaching my team. And I hope he blows out another knee while he's doing it.
Oh.
And a hip. What more needs to be said? I think we all know why.
I thought for this, Vince, that maybe Bill Laimbeer might be a good candidate to coach the team. You know, because... Laimbeer's well and truly retired, and you know Larry Bird still won't even talk to him, so he knows he's doing something right as far as being hated. But I mean, basketball is a game of two halves, offense and defense, so it's hard not to pick a guy who just flat out refuses to coach a key factor of the game. So my pick also, Mike D'Antoni, Also had an honourable mention of Larry Brown.
Oh, really?
Because you know Larry Brown's going to alienate the players, and he never stays an entire contract.
He's, you know what he is? Larry Brown's the guy that hogs the karaoke mic, refuses to let anyone else have a bit of a song.
I always think of him grabbing the mic at the brawl at the Palace. Please stop! No, stop it.
Beach. You know what Lambie would have done? He would have grabbed the mic and choked.
Rowdy Roddy Piper style.
Yeah. Well, I, funnily enough, went with Lambie or Mike D'Antoni. I think both are suitable. And both are actually flavours that you're not too sure what they are when you're drinking them, but there's always someone at a party that thinks they're a good idea.
It's like 4X beer. Someone brings 4X beer, you just want to throw them at them.
Well, guys, we got our coach. We got our fridge filled with assortment of Haterade. I think it's time we introduce our candidates for most hated point guard.
I hate Chris Paul.
What?
And you know I hate Chris Paul. I hate Chris Paul, and part of the reason everyone tries to ram him down your throat, oh, look at how good Chris Paul is. Oh, good stuff.
Is it because can I ask, Vince, who is trying to ram Chris Paul down your throat?
It's not Chris Paul, is it?
Ah, everyone. You see people on TV. Shut up, man. Well, it's, you know, I see people on Twitter who rave on about Chris Paul. I can't listen to a Bill Simmons podcast without him telling me how to
do you think you'd feel different if the trade went through?
Nick, I never take pictures with girls. Yunta, still McCoy. I have not seen one picture on Facebook where he has got his arm around a girl.
Oh, boy. Don't kill our fans, please. Do you think you'd feel different, though, if the trade went through, if, like, Chris Paul was playing for the Lakers?
Look, I'm not saying Chris Paul isn't a good player. I just don't see what all you guys see. I know he's a bit of a knob too, I reckon. He looks like a bit of a knob. It's just the vibe I'm getting. It's the vibe of the thing.
Oh, Vince. Oh, God.
You know what you need? You actually need Rob Kerrigan to run an NBA team for a year. Like, some GM makes him an offer. I tell him he's dreaming.
BG, who's your candidate for most hated point guard?
My most hated point guard, for a solid decade, I think one of the most divisive players in the NBA, Derek Fisher.
Wow, good pick.
No one seems to like the guy when they're playing against him, fan bases included, as well as on-court opponents. No one liked him when he became a starter for the Lakers. He really upset people when he was coming off the bench early in Oklahoma City. It was almost like he just fell into another, you know, team where they were going to carry him and make him look good. He shoots too much. He isn't athletic enough to compete at an NBA level. And he always seems to hit the big shot. He seems to be on the court in the fourth quarter, and sometimes you can't work out why. He's very easy to dislike. And I think now that he has a bit of a shady past with regards to the players union collective bargaining agreement, he's the kind of guy that shows up to the party with a case of beer only so he can grab someone else's out of the fridge.
Oh, I like it.
Sorry for the rant, but Derek Fisher, nice guy, just easy to dislike.
My candidate for most hated point guard, I've got a guy who would basically drink anything in the fridge, and that's Raymond Felton. I mean, just ask Portland about this guy. I mean, always looks overweight.
He's just big bone. No, he's not.
He's got a funny-looking head.
Oh, that's not his fault.
That's, well...
So McCoy's like, I don't like you because you've got a funny-looking head.
I just don't like him. I think he's very yappy and he's just... Oh, man, he complains about every single thing. It drives me nuts. I can't believe, like, he's the starting point guard for the Knicks. I don't think he's a starting point guard anywhere.
Right, which is kind of why they're so where they are.
Exactly. And then he gets hurt. I mean, and he comes back from being hurt and he looks even more overweight. I mean, Jesus.
He's got a...
Get a trainer. Jesus.
You know, it's current guys, you know, the people don't like Rondo for a number of reasons. Some of that is just based on how he looks. And I think what you'll find is, I reckon in the next 2 to 3 years, I reckon we're going to really find out who Damian Lillard really is.
Ooh. You think he's a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Yeah, I wonder what Damian Lillard is going to become. I think that he's got all the makings of a cold-hearted assassin that could go on to, you know, put up incredible NBA numbers and be in that MVP conversation, or I think things could, you know, go pear-shaped and, you know, I'm not saying he'll become Stephon Marbury, but I definitely think that he might end up letting his
skill and ego override what's better, what's in the best interest of the team that he's playing for.
So we move now from candidates for most hated point guards to the two guard spot.
I pure, straight hate you. But God damn it, do I respect you.
BG, who do you hate most playing the shooting guard spot?
Well, thanks to a real softening of Kobe Bryant, I think that this has to go to one of four players.
Ooh.
And I'm going to put them in reverse order, counting down to most hated. So I considered Vince Carter, especially because Toronto still hates him. So he clearly did something bad enough wherein if an entire city hates you 10 years after the fact, he clearly deserved to be on this list.
Yep.
I think a rising star in most hated category is Lance Stevenson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
My runner-up, though, my silver medalist is J.R. Smith.
Ooh.
And that was I made my selection pre-shoelaces. But I think the most hated shooting guard has to be average Joe Johnson.
Wow. Not my pick, but I can see your point.
Yeah, and I think he is going to carry the tag, thus sucking the life force out of every payroll he's been on for the last 10 years to the grave. I think he's going to be notoriously remembered, infamously remembered, as being one of the worst contracts in NBA history.
The big pay packet.
The average pay packet turned the big pay packet.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's my view. My take on it is that I've never met anyone who says, Joe Johnson, favorite player. Joe Johnson, can't get enough of that guy.
Vince, who's your pick?
Well, I was a bit like BG. I made this choice before the shoelace incident.
Do you want to change it?
No, not really. I'm pretty sure he's hated by a lot of people in New York and around the world. J.R. Smith. I just don't like the man, and I don't think a lot of people do either.
Fair call. Sure. I think
I'm pretty sure a lot of GMs don't. From what I've read on some articles, one of them who didn't want to be named said no one wants to touch him. So
I thought you were going to go with his brother, actually. But then I remembered we were actually picking NBA players. Zing!
Another honourable mention is Shved.
Shved!
I'm on a couple of Minnesota boards and boy does he cop it.
I tell you what, I think Shved's too under the radar to be that hated though.
Not if you're in Minnesota.
Because I've got a guy I think might top the list for two guards. No one frustrates me more in the NBA today because at least DeMarcus Cousins has talent. What the hell is Jason Terry still doing on an NBA court? He is a three-point specialist that can't knock down an open shot. He gets a stupid tattoo.
Vince, he's hated in the land of Hank.
Hey, he gets a dumbass tattoo every time he gets traded. He could get traded to a bottom dweller and he'd get, like, you know, a bobcat tattoo with the championship. Ridiculous. And I am actually really interested to find out how many shots he's hit since leaving Dallas.
We are currently looking for sponsors for the Hank segment. Maybe Ansel could jump on.
I'm telling you, man, I totally cannot stand watching Jason Terry play. Frustrates me to no end.
I reckon he frustrates you to the point where you can't say the word frustrated.
Exactly.
I reckon you're the only NBA fan that is actually annoyed at Jason Terry because I actually forgot he was in the bloody league. That's how irrelevant he is.
There you go. I see him on the court and it bugs me to no end.
Just hatred builds, does it?
I just want to, like, smash it. You know, like, when you lose a close game in 2K and you got the controller and you literally try to snap it in half? That's how I feel when I watch Jason Terry play. Because he's a three-point specialist. I cannot remember the last open shot I've seen him hit. Honestly. That's honest. Whew. Okay.
Oof.
Glad I got that off my chest. Any honourable mentions? No Wade. I was a little surprised, Vince.
Look, he's a punk, but I think... Well, it was close, but look, if it was 2011, would have been there.
Let's move along now to our candidates for the most hated small forward.
I got to say, it was... it's Matt Barnes. It was going to be someone else, which I can't remember, but yeah, it's Matt Barnes. And you know why it's Matt Barnes?
Why is that?
Because that SOB... When he played for the Lakers, he couldn't hit water from a boat, couldn't hit the side of a barn, goes to the Clippers, and he's nailing everything. the shit. I watched the game the other day. Barnes takes a shot. This will go in. Bam, it's in. This is in. He's running the floor. Where was that 2 years ago?
An underperforming Matt Barnes. now overperforming.
Oh, mate, it really burns my cannolis. It frustrates me to no end. We picked him up and I thought, oh, handy role player. Mm. Useless.
I mean, I am 100% in agreement with you. I've seen Matt Barnes do some dangerous, dangerous crap on the court in my time, including push a player on a fast break straight into the crowd. Already this season, he's dropped the N-word on Twitter. He's been fined $50K and being ejected twice and had eye surgery. And the funny thing is to me, like, in all the interviews and stuff I've seen, he seems actually like a semi-nice guy off the court. But on the court, man, to me, he's just a loose cannon.
Bit of white line fever.
White line fever?
Yeah.
What's that?
When you cross the white lines on the court, you turn into a peanut. You get the white line fever.
I like it.
Yeah. Is that an AFL term?
Sure is.
There you go. Right.
One other person once mentioned that terminology to me, and it was their suggestion for an article title, to which my response was, they're not a cokehead. Get rid of that title.
Yeah, it's just what you say amongst, you know, talking to other fans. You don't use it in a bloody
editorial context. Exactly. Anyways, that's neither here nor there anymore.
candidate for most hated small forward.
You're not going to believe this, but I went with Matt Barnes.
What?
And that is because the dude absolutely thrives as an NBA heel. He is the iron cheek of the NBA.
Wow.
He gets away with any and every trick he can, loves to instigate. He is the biggest instigator I've come across. And more than anything, he's the first and proudest player when he gets under your skin. He goes out of his way to read scouting reports to find how he can basically irritate people. And he seems to be the guy who, you know, for 10 years we dealt with Bruce Bowen claiming that he unintentionally did what he did to players. I think Matt Barnes intentionally does everything. He knows it. The NBA knows it. And I think he really seems to get some sort of pleasure out of it. So, I don't think there is a more hated small forward right now than Matt Barnes. The only way that there could be a more hated small forward is if LeBron James retired from the NBA.
Wow. No Melo. I thought we had a Melo pick in there.
No, because he's too talented and he's only... You know, it's a different kind of, you know, you're talking hatred here. People don't hate Melo. They just want him to get his act together.
Well, let's move now to our candidate for most hated power forward.
Oh, I took real pleasure in announcing Blake Griffin. and I did so for the simple reason that he's disrespectful to the rim. He's disrespectful to gravity. He's very disrespectful to defenders. He's even disrespectful to flopping. He can't even flop properly. He's embarrassed way too many NBA. No one likes to be embarrassed on national TV. Looking bad in front of their families is never welcomed. And many also now view him as nothing more than an athletic freak who gets by on what God gave him and not actually on what's been earned. Yes, he can work out and do whatever, but makes things look way too easy. That's easy to dislike. And it just seems like at every corner now, whether it's him being soft and then him playing like a beast for 2 weeks or... It's you know, him, you know, wanting to just throw down on people. I don't know. It just seems like at every turn he takes, he finds a new way to be disliked. And for that, I'm awarding this to Blake Griffin.
I've got a question for you. Have you ever seen a fish gasping for air? That's what Blake Griffin looks like every time there's contact.
I've seen a fish gasping for air, but never gasping.
Gasping's a word.
If you say so.
That's what he looks like on every little touch and flop.
He's not quite as bad as, to use a Bill Simmons quote, the gunshot reactions that Vince Carter has to contact.
True.
But I know what you're saying. He does seem to overreact. And, you know, that's part of why I think people don't like him. You know, he's supposed to be as, you know, or he appears to be, you know, as tough as nails.
He's 6'10", you know, 250. I mean...
But he's pure muscle. I mean, that guy could be a bodybuilder if he really wanted.
Exactly. I mean, I had the exact same pick, BG. I just, I think he really needs to just hit someone in the league so we all know he's serious. I mean, yeah.
That Clippers team, they have the starting all-hated forward.
Dude, Finrock, who's your candidate for most hated power forward?
I had this just to really annoy Dan Day and two, because I really don't like him, Blake Griffin. Again, it's a bit of people rounding you down my throat. And I just think he's a bit of a punk. And I've spoken to a few NBA fans who actually don't like Blake Griffin.
Wow, there you go.
And that's sealed it for me.
The other thing he did do is he stole someone else's Rookie of the Year trophy.
Bastard.
You know, oh, I'm going to sit out this year, come back next year. Sorry, John Wall, that's my trophy.
See? That's it. That's the clincher.
Well, let's round out our starting five with our candidates for most hated centre. Who's the most hated centre, guys?
I actually really am starting to dislike this bloke. And I reckon if you don't follow OKC, I reckon in a couple of years people are going to hate him as well. And that is Stephen Adams.
Wow, really?
Yeah, probably because he's Kiwi too.
Well, he said he doesn't like Australians, so...
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, we'll start him then, you asshole. You are freak. Damn that. He's just...
Tell you what, though. To the guy's credit, he knows how to take a hit.
Oh, he does, and he knows how to start something and then look all innocent, which is perfect heel, as BG would say, in the wrestling world. You know, hit him with a foreign object and go, no, that wasn't me.
Good pick. Good pick. Didn't see that coming, actually.
Yeah, no. I honestly can't stand it.
Because you hated him, and then you liked him, and now you're back to hating him again.
No, I said he's performing well, but as a bloke, he's a knob.
BG, who's your pick for most hated centre?
Look, I gave some serious thought to DeMarcus Cousins. I gave serious thought. I didn't go with Cousins. That's where I started. And then I realised, hang on, I can't give it to Cousins because of Andrew Bynum. And then I realised, hang on, Andrew Bynum doesn't fit the bill because, you know, Bogut's now doing enough to ruffle enough feathers, and he deserves a mention here. I thought a couple of years ago, Anderson Varejão, no one liked the guy. Everyone thought he was, you know, jokey or you know, a good villain to create for the NBA. But I'm actually going to go with Joakim Noah. I think that...
Wow, really?
Outside of Chicago, and a classic case of on your team, best guy. Against your team, no one. Oh, ever been a Noah fan. Everyone thinks he's got a broken shot. They're not sure if that's a pass or an attempt at the rim. you know, he plays with that... He absolutely plays that high-octane game that just defies logic. I mean, he's all heart. And you know, we've seen him do some crazy things and have some crazy games, but it's one of those instances where I just can see how... I think he's just an easy guy to dislike. And he doesn't have any respect for LeBron, which I think makes him a perfect villain for the NBA. And, yeah, I just think outside of, you know, most of upset Bulls fans, obviously, but Joakim Noah.
Well, my pick for most hated centre. Who do you think I got, Vince? I did give some thought to JaVale McGee. You know,
give me a chance to guess. You just ask me and then you move on.
Okay, have a guess.
Chris Kane.
So close.
Robert Sacre.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't like Sacre.
Dallenberg?
Who?
Spencer Horse.
Oh, that would have been a good one for you, actually.
If you have got Cousins, I'm leaving.
So I did give some serious thought to JaVale McGee. You know, 4 years, $44 million, gets like 20 minutes a game and can't stay out of his own way.
I'll leave.
But I don't think it's really hated. I don't think it's just become amusing now. You know, all his appearances on Shaq and the Fool, obviously. But he didn't get it. My pick for most hated centre has to. Go to a guy who took the throne this year, and that's Andrew Bynum.
Oh.
By all reports, Bynum hates basketball, but what else are you going to do when you're a 7-footer, right? Kareem couldn't coach him. Phil can't save him. Countless and reckless hits on opposing players. Sleeping with an assistant coach's wife? What? What? Look, injuries may have...
Fill me in. What's the story with the assistant?
He slept with the assistant coach's wife.
Which city? Which team?
Cleveland.
Is that right?
That's right.
Is that why he's no longer with that team?
That is correct. What was the term they used, Vince? For conduct...
Detrimental to the team.
That'll do it. That will do it.
How about conduct detrimental to Mrs. Mosley's JJ?
You have to wonder. Yeah.
Fair piece she was taking.
Look, injuries may have robbed him of any enjoyment of the game.
He clearly wasn't injured where it mattered.
And sure, he's never held a team at ransom like a Dwight, but You know, in some cases, Bynum just never showed up. Sorry, Philly. So Bynum gets my pick for most hated center.
But the thing of Bynum in Philadelphia, I mean, that's another fan base that he torched that no one talks about. I mean, right. He really did no favors to himself. And I wonder if we will remember Bynum differently in 15 years' time. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of legacy he's able to, if any, retain, or if he just fades into obscurity and everyone talks about him as this once possibly promising big man. But, yeah, having no heart never helps, and then doing all that he's done to emphasize or to reinforce is...
I mean, yeah, now he's more of a distraction than anything.
Right. But Dwight Howard would have been an interesting one. You could definitely argue Dwight.
Definitely.
But he seems like he's doing enough to stay out of trouble this year. Winning helps, obviously, but yeah, he's not nearly as hated as I think. Yeah, he might have been at one stage where he just during that LA year when he just couldn't stay out of.
Man, he got Well, there are our candidates.
Well, let's let the kids on Facebook have some fun.
You reckon?
Yeah, why not?
Let them decide out of our starting five. So, guys, we want you to vote on Facebook, All Caps Courtside, for our Courtside starting five, the small forward and power forward positions already filled by Matt Barnes and Blake Griffin. I'll put the nominees up.
Don't you think we should... you know what? Let's potentially throw in Chris Bosh, because there's a few people that don't like him.
Okay.
Sorry for the late addition. Center or forward, doesn't matter. But Chris Bosh, not much to like there.
But before we end the show, guys, out of all of these hated players, I think there's one man who stands above all.
I hate orphans.
Say it again to my face.
I hate them.
Come again?
I hate all the orphans in the whole world.
Loved by none, hated by all. His name is Joseph Crawford. Sure, he's not a player. But Joey Crawford. In the NBA circles, I don't know that there's a person out there that likes Joey Crawford.
He got worse when he lost all his hair.
Joey, as he's known to no one because he has no friends, has been haunting the league since 1977. Over 300 playoff games and 49 NBA finals of skin-crawling Joey officiating. He once resigned from the NBA for being called out for tax fraud and downgrading NBA flights. I think that happened in like 1988 and was later reinstated by David Stern. Of course, the infamous Tim Duncan ejection, the whole, you know, do you want to fight? It was suspended for the rest of the season of 2007. And just here's a little cool quote from David Stern. Based on my meeting with Joey Crawford and his commitment to an ongoing counseling program and a favorable professional evaluation that was performed at my direction, I am satisfied that Joey understands the standards of game management and professionalism the NBA expects from him and that he will be able to conduct himself in accordance with those standards. Wow, I don't know about that.
Is he an ex-cop?
So Joey Crawford, I think, is definitely the most hated man in the NBA.
Next to the owner of the Clippers, Donald Sterling.
Yeah, Donald Sterling had to be out there for...
So he owns our all-hated team, right?
Like, yeah.
Fridge manufactured by Sterling & Co.
Yes. Oh, boy.
So if this fridge is owned by Sterling,
yep.
And obviously if, what's he called? And if we know the liquids that are inside aforementioned players, does that make Joey Crawford head of security for our party, meaning he is the fun police?
Maybe Joey Crawford's the maintenance guy for the fridge.
Have we taken our metaphor a little too far, maybe?
Probably a little bit. But there you have it, guys. A very special courtside, fridge full of haterade episode for you guys. We just wanted to get it off our chest. Talk about the players that we really love to hate. We would love to hear about the players that you love to hate. Jump on Facebook, All Caps Courtside. Leave us your nominations for your starting five most hated players.
Here it comes.
Gentlemen.
Watch out.
It's been emotional. Jeez, you hate it when I say that.
Watch out. Here it comes. Watch out.
Ball.